Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Tomorrow I will be before the Virginia Supreme Court on the case of the Fairfax County ordinance in which the school board illegally passed a policy adding sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. This case has now made its way all the way up to the Virginia Supreme Court. We'll talk about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel.
Matt, did you ever think that you'd end up in the Supreme Court over a gender identity issue?
No,
it's kind of started this.
Ridiculous. When Liberty Counsel started, we focused on religious freedom and the sanctity of human life.
Right.
And eventually, because of the assault on the family that the homosexual agenda was doing and the attempted redefinition of marriage, we got involved in that. Now it's a huge area.
Right.
But then, even then, it would be hard to imagine that you would be debating over the fact that a man is a man and a woman is a woman.
Right. Or a child is a boy or a girl.
Right. And this case, what you have is the Fairfax County School Board passed an ordinance, passed a policy, and put it in the student handbook that includes something that the state law does not include, and that's the issue here, and that includes sexual orientation as a category of so-called non-discrimination, gender identity, and gender expression. Well, what in the world is gender identity and gender expression? Gender expression, that is completely subjective. It is totally in the mind subjectively of that person. That person could have a confused understanding of their identity. They may be confused and think that they want to identify or express themselves as a girl when they're actually a boy. Or they may just want to go into the girl's restroom and fool somebody and tell them that they identify as a girl so they can have access to the private facilities of these girls. And that's the issue that we have here that just defies common sense, Matt.
Well, you mentioned that Liberty Counsel, one of the initial missions was in defense of religious liberty. And Liberty Counsel is not operating, nor are Christians and Orthodox Christians operating from an offensive standpoint in that we're, anti-gay, as the left likes to call us, anti-transgender. We are operating from a defensive position because these novel and notions of these false social constructs of sexual orientation and gender identity have been used kind of twofold. First of all, to attack God's design for humanity at the very base. In the beginning, he made them male and female. To attack God's design for human sexuality and the body, and even from a biological standpoint, they can be politically correct. We're going to be biologically correct. But they are using that not just to attack God's transcendent truths, but to also use it as a weapon to go after religious liberty, to go after the privacy of women and children, in the restrooms, in areas where they have an expectation of privacy, in showers, in locker room facilities. But they want to dumb down everything. They want to blur the lines and have kind of an androgynous society where sexual morality is completely relative. Anything goes, and any traditional notions of biblical sexual morality or even something as basic and unassailable as in the beginning God made them male and female, they're going to use this and engage in lawfare to go after these principles, with the ultimate target being Christianity and the free exercise of Christianity. Am I right, man?
Yeah, you're right. And in fact, one of our plaintiffs in this particular case is a minor student who attends the school. And
a male, right?
The parents, yes, yeah. A male, and is offended by and certainly nervous by and upset by the fact that girls would come into the private facility.
Rightly so.
In the restroom. And certainly you have girls that would have the same and probably even more fear of that. And so as they're going to school to get an education, which in Virginia they have a right to education under the Virginia law, they go there to get an education, they ought to be able to focus on their studies, not worry about who is going to be coming in the restroom or the shower room or the locker room or the private facility that you're in while you're in a partial state or a complete state of undress.
Right. I mean, you're talking about, you know, sports, overnight activities, things like
showers, that. Showers, you know, you have gym.
It creates an entirely hostile educational environment.
Right. Yeah,
we're rife with sexual harassment and a lack of modesty and privacy. It's just it's insane that we're even having this conversation. And what's more insane is that you actually have to go before the Virginia Supreme Court to argue this ridiculous case.
Yeah, and the legal issue here is this. Certainly all those issues that we just talked about are important and make this thing absurd. But the legal issue here that's actually being argued is whether or not the school board has the authority to add these different categories. They don't under Virginia law, and the majority of states have similar rules or procedures or laws. That category of non-discrimination has to be set at the state level. It's a uniform thing so that you have that set at the state level. Otherwise, if you had the categories of non-discrimination at the state level, and then every city has the opportunity and every school board has the opportunity, every county has the opportunity to add to this, you could have a conflict. Take a county, for example. And in the county, you have 10 cities. And in those 10 cities, you've got 6 or 8 school districts. And then you have the county, and you have the cities, and you have the school districts. And they all add different things to their non-discrimination categories. So you're an employer, or you're a citizen, and you're having to deal with all these. And every time you're driving around or working with or interacting with a different aspect of the government at the local level, you have all these conflicting and competing policies. It makes no sense. That's why the state says this has to be set at the state level. Well, guess what? The state level has the normal non-discrimination on the basis of sex, what is very clear throughout our history, male and female. It doesn't include sexual orientation. It doesn't include gender identity. It doesn't include gender expression. Therefore, the local government has no right to be able to add things to it. Case closed. That's the issue.
Not just no right, it's explicitly illegal, expressly illegal in Virginia civil rights law, correct?
That's right. It's expressly banned. It's the same thing that was happening in North Carolina. North Carolina wasn't some oddity or some unusual thing. The city of Charlotte did not have the authority under state law to add an additional category of gender identity in the public accommodation section. Just didn't have that authority. North Carolina as a state didn't have that in the statewide law. So again, you had the illegal action of Charlotte. The media just completely ignored it because they don't mind doing something illegal and completely unlawful, as long as it gets to their end goal. What the school district did here is absolutely unlawful, in addition to unwise, and it certainly will impinge on religious freedom. Because in our situation, the young boy and the other students there, what happens if they come to school and they start having a discussion about gender identity? What happens if they go to the school and they complain, hey, girls are using my restroom, boys are using my restroom? They're going to be the one disciplined.
That's crazy.
They're going to be the one,
so
and they have a disciplinary action hanging over their head. So they can't even, gets back to your religious freedom, can't even talk about this from an objective or personal, or they can't even have a complaint about how this is impacting.
Or what, about parents? You know, parents feeling they can send their children to school, and the children in the school is going to take care of their child, and it's going to be, and the child's going to be safe, and it's going to be able to learn what happened to that. Just totally turns the tables on
that. Well, and in the classroom environment, Matt, what happens if a Christian student is sitting there and they're getting all this indoctrinated, this gender identity
in the classroom,
identity politics rammed down their throat in the classroom? They say, well, no, the biology is clear. The Bible is clear. My faith in objective reality says that they're male and female, and that this
is
this
is all.
Yeah, they get called down to the principal's office, and they get disciplined
get
in the front of their class.
Talk about a hostile environment.
So you have like a senior there that maybe they're trying to get into medical school, so they're looking at their grades. They want to get good grades. Now they're in a biology class, and their professor, the teacher, wants to use this policy as a springboard to indoctrinate the class. Somebody raises their hand and objects and starts to have a different position, and the person gets called down to class, the person gets written up, the person has this disciplinary action, and they're trying to get into medical school. Well, guess what? they will be forced to be silent. That's the problem here. It's this bully politics, if you will, using these absurd policies. Remember the case. Tomorrow, I will be in Richmond, Virginia, at the Virginia Supreme Court, arguing the case of the Fairfax County School District matter. Keep this case in your prayer. I'll be before the entire Virginia Supreme Court. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. Remember to pray and financially support the ministry of Liberty Counsel.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. lc.org.